Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more. Oh, Lisa, you know we better stop meeting like this.
No, I like meeting like this. It's fun.
Oh, okay. You're right.
I love talking about health.
I do too. It's my passion, I guess.
Anytime I'm out in public and you know, not public, whatever. I'm at a social gathering.
You carry your soapbox with you?
Yeah. No, I don't. But people.
I don't either. But I'm sure people ask you questions because they would like to catch you outside the office and get the scoop.
Yeah, I know. A lot of my colleagues hate that when people ask them questions about health. They're like, I'm not working right now. But I don't mind it. I like talking about it. So anyways.
Well, here we are again then.
Yes, we are.
Part two. Yes. Hope for fertility.
Right. So last time we were talking about different ways we can influence fertility.
I'm sorry. It was hope for infertility.
Yes. Yeah. Did you say hope for fertility?
I did.
But
sorry.
Actually, you know what? That's a better way to say it. Hope for fertility.
You're right.
Yeah. So
it was lapsus lingual.
That two positives.
From my ninth grade Latin class.
Oh.
Lapsus lingual. You accidentally made a verbal mistake.
Okay. Well, it was good. I liked it. Anyways, we talked about lifestyle, diet, tracking whether you're ovulating and all that stuff, stress. So this time we're going to talk about some common fertility problems. But the first thing I want to talk about is just preconception that, you know, every woman who wants to have a baby should find a doctor that's going to do a thorough history, you know, regarding their menstrual cycle and gynecological health, including previous infections and pap smear results and prior pregnancies, you know, and then just talk about general health, you know, mental health, stress levels, diet, lifestyle, and family history. It's a lot to go through, but it's important to evaluate all of those things. And then usually, if there seems to be problems with fertility, the doctor will often order testing for hormones. And there's kind of two sets. The first is on day three of a woman's period. They're going to order usually an FSH, which is a hormone that comes from
follicle
our brain.
Follicle stimulating hormone.
Yes, it makes the eggs. It makes them, grow.
Leap or it makes them grow.
Yeah, the LH is what, and that's another one that's usually ordered that causes them to be released from the ovary. They also usually check prolactin, which can, it's just a different hormone that can suppress ovulation, and estrogen and thyroid. Those are the main ones. And that would be on day three of the menses. The other set is usually on day 21, 23, 25 of the menses. And that's for progesterone. Sometimes they just do one, maybe on day 23, but a lot of times, especially if there's problems with getting pregnant, it's 3 days. And you average them, but that's for progesterone to see if you have enough progesterone to keep the lining thick to support an embryo if it should happen to form. And
so what I just heard you say is something that I'm connecting the dots with. Really, it's not only about being ready to conceive and then conceiving and then being able to continue the mm-hmm. pregnancy.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
It's really almost three parts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Before and then the actual conception and then maintaining the pregnancy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so for progesterone, we want it to be if you're going to be having a baby, you want it to be around 20 to 25 if you're pregnant. If it's around 10 or 15, it's too low.
Is that like is there a micromoles or something?
I don't know
like
what
that.
It's just the general.
Just a number.
Yeah, there is a units, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
That's
but
just
good
a little
question.
Sciencey thing. From me.
Yeah. So just the general physical, or not a general, a detailed physical, and testing for the hormones is the first thing that often doctors will do. And then we're going to talk now about fertility problems. There's actually a lot here, so I'm going to try not to get too sciencey on us. But
should
you know,
we take notes?
I can tend to do that. you could if you're listening and you're interested. But the first one is hormonal issues, which, you know, is obviously a huge thing. And so luteal phase defect. I'm getting sciencey here. But what that's about, the luteal phase is after you ovulate. So oftentimes women may have a short luteal phase, and we want that to be around greater than 12 days. 14 is ideal because that's when the endometrium builds up, the lining of the uterus. And so it kind of goes along with the progesterone. If you have a low progesterone, oftentimes you'll have a short luteal phase. And so you may need progesterone if you're low to support that. So that's one of the main hormonal issues that goes on with miscarriages or infertility.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, PCOS is another one, which is polycystic ovary syndrome. So basically when women have cysts on their ovaries, those cysts make hormones and that disrupts the ovulation. So I don't know if you've heard of Clomid.
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, that's often when women... So this PCOS causes women not to ovulate, and so they give the... Oftentimes, conventional doctors will give Clomid to make the ovulation happen.
And that doesn't it sometimes can release more than one egg even?
It's true. Yes, it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so generally, these women who have PCOS are usually overweight. They have more of an apple shape. They might have acne, and it's about the blood sugar. And so that's important thing to address if that's what's going on. Yeah. So we got the luteal phase defect, PCOS. Also, premature ovarian failure is another condition, which is where the ovaries stop functioning. So either there's no eggs left, which would be menopause, or the ovaries are just not responding to the FSH. So women will have symptoms of menopause. So, you know, obviously this could be menopause, but a lot of times this can just be a hormonal imbalance that your naturopath would be able to help you with. So,
yeah. Good.
Yeah.
It's nice to know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that was hormonal issues. Structural issues that can cause problems with fertility. So blocked fallopian tubes, it's a pretty big problem, but it can be caused by infections, previous infections, and scar tissue forms. And so the way that your doctor will assess that is with a hysterosalpingogram. It's a fancy word. Yeah, that's a fancy word. Basically, they inject a dye and they look at your uterus and your fallopian tubes to see if they're blocked. And they can actually treat it at the same time. So, you know, and again, these are things that women are going to be doing if they're having a problem getting pregnant. They're at that 1 year without getting pregnant with mm-hmm. no contraception, or 6 months for someone over 35. You don't just do a hysterosalpingogram right off the bat, but something to consider. So, and then fibroids, that's where we have growths in the wall of the uterus, and those can block implantation of embryo, or they can, not allow blood to get to the embryo if it does implant. And so usually they do the same kind of the hysterosalpingogram to assess for that.
What exactly is a fibroid?
So it's a growth that's made of smooth muscle and fibrous tissue mm-hmm. in the wall of the uterus. And actually it's kind of related to the liver. It's thought to be due to too much estrogen. And then the liver is responsible for processing our estrogen and helping our body get rid of it. And so if we have too much estrogen, you can get these growths. And so, yeah, it's interesting because it's like you wouldn't think of the liver when you're thinking of the uterus, a growth in the liver. And actually, Chinese medicine, sometimes I've heard that there's this thought that our uterus is almost our second heart, and that sometimes suppressed emotions can cause fibroids. So now we're getting kind of, well, now we're getting kind of less medical here. And we're getting,
you can think of, you know, are there people that you know, including the two of us, that don't suppress their emotions sometimes?
Yes. Well, actually myself, I know I've been known to do that. So, but something to pay attention to. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we said the black fallopian tubes, fibroids, endometriosis is another big one, which is, that's where it's very painful condition, where endometrial tissue grows outside of the uterus and you have a lot of painful periods. But, and the reasons are complicated as to why that causes infertility, but something to consider. And then just some other various structural things, endometrial polyps, which are similar to fibroids. They're, you know, growths on the inside of the uterus will block the embryo from implanting. Ovarian cysts. So those are all structural issues that can cause infertility, and important ones to talk to your doctor about investigating if you're having.
You might not know unless you did talk to your doctor too.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, yeah, you might not know. But if you're having problems getting pregnant, things to investigate. So infections, that's another big one. And also, same thing. You might not know you have an infection. I mean, you might be asymptomatic. But they can often account more so for the miscarriages, early pregnancy losses.
Would you also, not have a fever? Or
no. No.
Some other symptom, huh?
Yeah. So more so early pregnancy loss, also the inability to conceive. But some of the infections are ureaplasma, mycoplasma. Those are two of the big ones. But also chlamydia, gonorrhea. I mean, we know chlamydia is, well, I shouldn't say we know, but it's often asymptomatic. So
isn't that the one they call ping pong? It's a venereal disease.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never heard it called
back
ping
and forth
pong
between the male and the female.
Oh, maybe so.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So what happens is the infections, they can cause damage to the female's reproductive tract, but also damage to the sperm. So the sperm can become unable to move and unable to penetrate the egg. So oftentimes the doctor will treat that with antibiotics.
I wouldn't think it would be good to have any kind of infection going on in your body.
No, especially if you want to have a baby. So, you know, I think it's important to have good lifestyle choices to maintain a healthy immune system. But if you have struggle with fertility and your doctor finds these infections, you know, antibiotics are probably the way to go. So it takes a while more so if you're going to just try to do it naturally with balancing your immune system. So, yeah.
So antibiotics would be maybe, depending on your personal preference, they'd probably be faster than trying to just balance it with natural substances.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I tend to try to stay away from antibiotics, but in this case, would likely be indicated if you're trying to have a baby. So immune problems is the next thing I was going to talk about. So I don't know, I'm very passionate about autoimmunity. And so that's, you know, a lot of people that I work with have autoimmune disease. And so autoimmune can obviously affect fertility as well. And the biggest one is the anti-thyroid antibodies, Hashimoto's, which we've talked about extensively on this show, but those antibodies affect the function of your thyroid, and that's what's responsible for all of our metabolism and the activity of our body and growing things and keeping our metabolism up so that we can repair and grow things. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but just to be aware, if you have anti-thyroid antibodies, they may be contributing to your fertility. And I'm just going to take a little break here to say that you're listening to Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH, and this is Peak Health with Dr. Lisa Morse and Claire DeNice. So, all right.
Okay.
Okay. The next thing is, so we talked about the thyroid antibodies. or I talked about the thyroid antibodies. And then there's also other autoimmune conditions, antiphospholipid antibodies. Here we're getting kind of medical again here, but the phospholipids are what all of our cells contain in the cell membrane. And so it's not good if our immune system is attacking the cell membranes. And so what happens is cells become sticky and clump together, and that can lead to low blood flow to the uterus and clots. And that is not conducive to growing a baby. And so
clots in the bloodstream, or clots like during the menstrual cycle?
More so in the menstrual, actually in the bloodstream too, but both, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it decreases the blood flow to the baby, which the embryo, excuse me. Hmm. And so oftentimes doctors will put women who have these antibodies on baby aspirin to thin the blood, or Lovenox, which is a blood thinner. So yeah, something to get tested for if you are having problems with getting pregnant. Another autoimmune is anti-nuclear antibodies, and some of you may have heard of ANA, doing an ANA test, but that's just another assessment of autoimmune disease. So anti-nuclear antibodies attack the nucleus of the cell, as opposed to the phospholipid antibodies, which attack cell membranes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So usually people who have rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, they usually have a positive ANA. And so treatment is usually prednisone for that, which is a tough drug. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
steroid, right?
Yes, exactly. So just, mentioning all of the autoimmune conditions that can affect fertility and things that you want to get tested for. The last one is anti-sperm antibodies, where actually the woman will make antibodies to the sperm. That's also a really tough one. Usually they have to do some kind of artificial reproductive technique to bypass that. But yeah, we're not going to get into all that artificial stuff today.
A lot of things to check off.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So another thing. So that was autoimmune conditions. Now thrombophilias. So here we are, medical again. I know. Claire was about to say.
Well, what? I was just going to say, this is where I should take notes. Thrombophilias.
Yeah. So basically that's blood. Where someone is clotting too much. So it's kind of similar to the antiphospholipid antibodies, where the blood is clotting too much. It's not thin blood, and then the baby's not getting enough blood to grow. And so factor V laden and prothrombin are the main ones. And then there's other less common ones, protein S, protein C. I mean, I'm just listing these off here, but finding a doctor that will investigate these with you especially if you're having recurrent, miscarriages, it's important. So often, and then the treatment will usually be the baby aspirin and the Lovenox again, anticoagulants. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people aren't aware of this.
I'm kind of curious. You had a statistic about how many women and what percent in various age groups and with difficulties in with conceiving and carrying a child. So the hope part of this. What percentage, are there percentages that they say that people going through these have success in identifying what is wrong and then correcting it?
No, I don't think there's any of those. Because I feel like a lot of times it's not really investigated. A lot of times doctors will say, oh, your eggs are too old, or oh, it must be a chromosomal thing.
So they don't really get down into the nitty-gritty all the time.
No, I mean, that's my experience.
They should come see you then.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just my experience, that it's not really investigated. Like a lot of times in healthcare, there's no time in conventional healthcare. I shouldn't, generalize, but that's the way what I've experienced, is that there's not time to delve into these kind of things. So
what has to be reimbursable too.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So important things to investigate. Okay. So thrombophilias. And then we mentioned this in the last show, the MTHFR genetic polymorphism. There's a lot of controversy over this, but these people don't make as much active methylfolate from folic acid. And so make sure if, you know, get tested for the genetic defect if you are having miscarriages or problems getting pregnant, and making sure that methylfolate is in the prenatal. And sometimes women actually even need more than the typical, you know, 800 micrograms of methylfolate. And so finding, again, a doctor that's going to help you get tested for that and, make sure that you have enough methylfolate, because it's actually linked to miscarriages, but also Down syndrome, which is interesting. I just learned that recently. Yeah. Okay. So other general health problems, this kind of goes back to the thyroid, hypothyroidism. So again, we know that our thyroid hormone is needed for pretty much every system in our body, and that if it's low, it slows down our metabolism and can prevent ovulation and the growth of a baby. So pay attention, because your doctor may not be aware that the TSH range, so that's our thyroid stimulating hormone from our brain, there's different numbers that are optimal for pregnancy. So it should be between 1.0 and 2.5. And then for people with Hashimoto's, autoimmune thyroid, even if your TSH is between 1 and 2.5, sometimes thyroid hormone replacement is still is helpful for keeping a pregnancy going. So something with the autoimmunity, even if your TSH is normal, can cause problems with the baby.
Huh. You know, what I guess I would want to encourage people that are going through this process is to really never give up and keep looking and keep digging to get the answers that they want.
Yeah.
You know, which sounds like they could get them from you.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's important to, if that's, it's hard. I mean, it can be really hard, but just keep pursuing and searching. And then, so that was the thyroid. Other general health issues, you know, gastrointestinal disorders can cause problems with absorbing nutrients. So it's important to get those under control.
Can I interrupt you there for 1 second? So gastrointestinal. So what if you had something like IBS or Crohn's?
Yeah. Crohn's definitely. Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. Those are big ones. Those are more serious than IBS. But certainly with IBS too, you can have problems with malabsorption. So important to work on that so that you have good nutrients in your body, so that your baby gets good nutrients. And then there's, you know, genetic congenital disorders. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but don't let your things get blamed on that all the time. Make sure you've sought out and searched all these other reasons as well, as far as infertility or miscarriages. Yeah. So I think that's a lot of stuff, but it's most of, so we said the hormonal issues, structural issues, infections, immune problems, especially autoimmunity, thrombophilias, MTHFR, and then other general health problems.
Could I just add stress to that? Because I have known of several instances myself, so I'm assuming that many other people have as well, where they decide, okay, this isn't going to happen for us, and they decide to adopt a child.
Yep.
And then almost, I don't know, something shifts psychologically that evidently has some kind of physical impact on the reproduction, and then they conceive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have another child.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Or have their own biological child.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what we mentioned last.
Stress is all that cascade of hormones that are associated with stress, do you think, that just disrupts the whole order of things?
Mm-hmm. Well, we kind of touched on this in the last show, but basically when our body is stressed, the hormones from our brain, so we have higher cortisol, which actually decreases ovulation, the chances of ovulation when our cortisol is really high. And then also the other hormones from our brain, the FSH often is low in times of stress. And so, we may say, oh, we're not stressed, but we don't really realize it.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah. So I think stress is huge. Yeah. Yeah. Today we were talking more about kind of technical things than lifestyle things.
Well, the first important half was the lifestyle factors that are all important as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So one thing I want to say is we didn't talk about the male factor today. And last show either. We talked about last show about not making sure we're not heating up the testes and cooking the sperm. But that's part of the situation too. And it's important for the male to have, the full physical and there's testing, a sperm test. You know, we want to see if there's enough sperm. Nowadays, the sperm counts seem to be getting lower and lower is what I've learned from a lot of my mentors. And that greater than 20 million is considered normal, where, 20 years ago, it was like 60 million was normal.
Wow.
And so, and we're not really sure why, could be the toxins or who knows what it is, but just make sure that your guy is getting checked out too.
So, thinking about that brings to mind the whole in vitro process that sometimes a couple can't conceive naturally and have the embryo or zygote attached to the uterine wall. But they can conceive in a test tube and then have it implanted, and then it's a successful pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of curious why that would be. If all of those questions, all those conditions and things, none of them were present, why would it work outside the body but not inside the body?
That's a good question. I mean, we don't really know for sure that all of these things are actually investigated.
That's what I've experienced.
Is that
they're not.
They're not investigated, and people go to do IVF when they could have addressed one of these things first,
Really good point then.
Yeah.
Because you get into insurance and the cost of doing something like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's not inexpensive.
Astronomical, and it's not always successful. I mean,
it's time-consuming, and it's difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It is hard on the woman's body and injecting hormones. And so it's important to investigate these things first and then pursue that option.
I'm nodding my head.
Yes. So one more thing I want to say too is the mental emotional piece of this, and that, it can be very stressful and very heartbreaking to want to have a baby and not be able to. And so I think it's important to have ways to let go of those emotions and deal with those emotions, finding connection with your partner and, talking about it and leaning on each other can help bring you together. But finding ways to laugh every day, find something, that you enjoy, something that fills your soul. I mean, obviously, a lot of women feel that a baby is going to feed their soul, and would, but finding other things that are going to do that too, I think, are important. And there's a really good book that I want to recommend to people. It's called Stick It To Me, Baby. It's kind of a funny title, but the book is by Danica Thornberry. Thornberry, just, spelled how it sounds, and Danica is Danica. But it's a really good book about the spiritual side of infertility and just to help support women who are going through it. And it's great.
Oh, that sounds like one of the best tips of this show.
Yeah.
Is when you're feeling frustrated or sad or, just any range of emotions, to have a place to go where there's support and information and...
Yeah.
It just sounds like it would really be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's written by an acupuncturist. And so I think all of that's good. Like I said, finding things to laugh about and finding something that feeds your soul and reading that book.
So don't listen to the evening news.
Yes.
It won't make you laugh.
I agree. Yeah. And sorry, I'm always saying there's one more thing I want to say. Again, just to reiterate that, if you're having problems getting pregnant, don't accept the diagnosis you have bad eggs or you're too old or whatever. I mean, obviously there's an age limit, but make sure you find someone who's going to help you uncover the reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah. And I want to say that Peak Health is made possible by Windermere Vashon. And so we are very appreciative to them for supporting us. Okay. Voice of Vashon, that is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I guess until next time, do we know what our next topic is?
We don't, but we'll just have to say everyone just...
Stay tuned.
Yes.
And it'll be great,
yes.
Whatever it is.
Exactly. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
Thanks, Lisa. This was really educational for me.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You didn't fall asleep on anything.
No, I didn't.
There, so.
I took notes.
Okay, good. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.